Who in here has ever actually led a community group before? Just show of hands. Has anybody ever led one before? One,
couple.
Two, so a couple.
Okay.
So the whole point of new leader training is that you guys went through GroupLink and got in a community group, and you checked a box or raised your hand and said, like, hey, I'd like to lead. I don't know maybe exactly what that looks like. Maybe I lead in other areas of my life, but I've never led in a community group. But I feel like God maybe lead me to do that. I feel called to do that, and maybe it'd be a great step of faith for me and something that challenges me, but something that I feel like God wants me to do. So we're so glad you're here. And so what new leader training is, it's tonight and the next week of just like, hey, what's a good on-ramp to kind of go into base camp, which is like our coaching and mentor program, but how do we bridge that gap of, I don't know what community is, so I'm going to go to GroupLink, and then going from there to, oh my gosh, I'm a leader, what did I just sign up for? This is intense. And so what new leader training is, like, hey, we want to answer all your questions. We want to set you up for success in your group as best as we possibly can. And so we have this ministry here called New Leader Training. So in your binders, there's actually we actually have printouts of these slides.
Yeah.
So there's room if you want to take notes at all. Or if you just want to follow along on our PowerPoint, you totally can. But we're just going to kind of teach through this, and then we're actually going to experience base camp. So base camp is actually going on right now as we speak on a different floor. And so we're going to be up here for the first hour, teach the you new leaders, and then we're actually going to go and experience base camp so you can kind of see what it's going to be like as a mentoring process. So what you guys knew here was GroupLink. So GroupLink was the answer to the question of what's community, how do I get in it, what does the Bible say about it, understanding the dangers of living in isolation, and maybe that's maybe the story for a lot of y'all, of, man, I've lived my whole life in isolation, I don't want to do it anymore, and I know that God's best for me would be to do life with other people. And so we hear it all the time from the front, and so I just want to respond in faith to that, so I'm going to come to GroupLink. I don't know what community is, but here I am. And so that process is GroupLink. So it answers that kind of question. So community isn't magic. I've oftentimes wanted to count how many times I actually say the word community with this job, which is, it's a ton. Luke already knows from being here for a month. So you say that word a ton, but it's not really, community isn't magic. It's God working through people in your life. That's really what it is. So you hear about, oh, community this, community that. It's really God working through other people to change you and make you more like his son. And so that's kind of what GroupLink is. From there, we have a thing called Basecamp. And so we are right now kind of bridging the gap between GroupLink and Basecamp. So Basecamp answers the question of, hey, how do I lead well? How can I get equipped? How can I be the best leader for my guys or for my girls? How can I challenge them? How can I lead them in a way that honors God and sharpens them? And so these are kind of our two main ministries, so GroupLink and then Basecamp. And so here we are kind of in between these two worlds where we get you for just this little bit of time to help educate you and hopefully make you more equipped leaders just getting a running start at it, okay? So it's a resource. Basecamp has mentors, also called coaches. So at your table, you all have your coach here. And so a coach is someone who's just been doing this longer than you. They are trusted. They are faithful people, which we'll kind of talk about why we have coaches and what that looks like. But it's kind of a fun ministry. So we really like it. So here's kind of what the Basecamp team looks like. So if you want to separate this into GroupLink team and Basecamp, so GroupLink was Luke Friesen and Lindsay Hall, who would do announcements, and Luke spoke week four. So here's kind of the other half of the community team. So we work on Basecamp, or how to make our leaders better. And so on that top left is Cynthia Culver, so you'll get to meet her tonight. Veronica Lyle on the far right is actually back there running some of our PowerPoint stuff for us, so she's here.
Thank you, V.
Which is great. Jeff Kramer is on the bottom left. You'll meet him tonight. So they are all, Cynthia and Jeff are downstairs working base camp. And then there's Robbie and myself. So we say three girls, two guys, and one goal. And you probably heard this at GroupLink, but it's kind of the mantra. It's kind of the mission statement of community is we want to connect people in authentic relationships that lead to spiritual transformation. That's what we're really passionate about. This is our heart. And so that connecting people piece is kind of GroupLink. Right, so we want to connect you. We want to let you engage with other people and meet others who are kind of in the same boat with you. And then how to have kind of those authentic relationships and how to encourage one another biblically and how to kind of be real and maybe transparent and authentic maybe for the first time is kind of what we help do here and then also at Basecamp. And yeah, so that's kind of what that's about. This slide right here, it says, do you know that we're God's provision for each other? So kind of as we start, I want to give you just kind of pull behind the curtain and let you see kind of the support structure that is here and available for our leaders in community. So on this picture, on the far right side, you see this red dot and all these little circles. So that's basically a community group. And so the Bible calls all of us to be the church for one another, right? We are the church. Your group, when you meet in a living room, is the church. Church isn't something that we just do on Sundays. You'll hear Todd from say that all the time. It's like, hey, this is little W worship, how we live our lives and meeting in community groups where we are known and are experiencing victory over sin or confession and accountability, whatever that is. That's real capital W worship. That's us being the church and serving each other. And so what we do here is you have the circle. So we have your community group right there. Above you, you have a coach. So that's the person who's sitting at your table as your coach. So it's kind of a hierarchy, right? So it's a support structure for you. So you will have a coach over you that you can go to pastoral care issues with. You can bounce ideas off of. He or she is there to mentor you and help you along as a leader. Above them, you have a staff director. And then even above us, we have like Todd and elders, and it just kind of goes up the chain. So there's roughly 5,000 people at Watermark probably any given time. Todd can't do pastoral ministry for every single person here, right?
Yeah, we have about 700 groups.
Yeah, so if we have 700 groups, not all of them can go to Todd when there's an issue or if there's conflict or whatever. It's hard to shepherd 5,000 people directly. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, so if we have 700 groups, we have each of us as directors, we have about 75 groups underneath each one of us. Mm-hmm. And then we have a handful of coaches who will have 5 to 8 groups, just like you have here underneath them. And so it's just basically a support structure so that you feel supported and so that Todd isn't going to try to get burned out trying to meet with every single person. So the reason we do this is because, frankly, the Bible says that we are the church, not, hey, we have to go to Todd for everything. We can support and encourage and care and love each other. So 1 Thessalonians 5:14 is there in your slide. It says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with them all. So Todd can't shepherd everybody, so we have community groups for us to be the church, for us to sharpen each other, for us to encourage one another. So what does a coach do? So what does a coach do? We all have these coaches at our tables. So what does a coach do? So this actually comes from Exodus 18. So you can write that if you ever want to kind of go chase this down, if you're talking to people about coaching or where we got this. So this comes from Exodus 18. And so in Exodus 18, you have Moses trying to rule over all the Israelites, and he's trying to meet with everybody one-on-one, and he's getting completely burned out, right? There's, I don't know how many millions probably of people that he's trying to meet with, and it's just not making much sense because he can't get anything done. The line's through the door, right? And so he's doing all this stuff, and so he has his father-in-law, Jethro, come up to him. And so he's explaining what he's doing to, and Jethro kind of chimes in verse 17. And he says, hey, what you're doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this thing is too heavy for you, and you're not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice, and I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for men, and so we would say men and women here, from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, so don't try to bribe your coaches, right? So they hate a bribe, and place such men and women over people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people. So basically, this support structure that we've created is biblical. As you try to get to know your people better in conflicts or crisis happens, which is inevitable, you're going to have someone who's in your corner, who knows you, who's mentoring you as your kind of first line of defense to serve as a mentor. And then there's someone over that coach and other coaches, and then there's people over us, and then there's elders over our directors. And so it's just kind of a support structure to help meet the needs that happen in everyday life. Okay, so what does a coach do? So we have on there models Christian maturity. Doesn't take bribes, right? Builds relationships with their leaders. They equip and help train leaders. Helps evaluate group health. And then pastoral care. And so by pastoral care, we mean just helping you process the issues that come up. So again, as you go through your groups, it's inevitable with with sinners in a room and life that happens that's hard, there's going to be crisis. There might even be conflict. And so they're your first line of defense to help you process that. They're your kind of your lifeline to reach out to when you don't understand something, or maybe you have questions, or like, hey, this guy confessed to this. What do I do? Like, I don't even know what scripture to go to. Like, have you ever had this? Help me out. And so that's what your coach is there to do.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So here we are at New Leader Training tonight. And as Brian said, this is kind of the handoff. You just finished Group Link, and you're about to start Base Camp. And so this is just kind of a, hey, I just met 8 new people, and I don't know what to do with them. And so what we're going to do, the stuff that we have in your binders is just great resources to help you kind of get started. What is your first month look like in your group? What does your first meeting look like in your group? And so that's kind of our goal with New Leader Training. So how does this work? Is it not going?
Should be.
There we go. So these are kind of the 4 things we hope that you walk away with after tonight and next Wednesday night, that you understand the role and responsibility of what leading biblically in community looks like. That you have a game plan so that you know what your time together looks like, that you know what resources are available to you, what people are available to you, and just Bible study resources, things like that. And then that we can answer any questions that you might have, because you might have come in here and been like, oh my gosh, I have no idea what I'm doing. That's totally fine, totally normal, and we're trying to help you through that tonight. So just kind of, we'd love to kind of just get audience participation on this. What do you think some qualifications for being a small group leader are? Don't be shy.
Patience.
That's
okay. Yeah.
Huge. Yes. Responsible. Absolutely.
Authentic.
Okay. Love that. It's a good watermark term. Yeah.
Anybody else?
Servant.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. These are good. Anything else?
Pursuing Christ?
Pursuing Christ.
Yeah.
Yep. That is key. All right. I'm sorry?
Willingness.
Yes. You're all in this room because you were willing to lead. So that is a good one.
Way to go.
Okay. So this is an acronym that girls hate. Guys probably don't love it. But we are always looking for fat leaders. And by
fat.
Fat
leaders at.
Whoa. Yep.
Got you. Keep
Thank
talking.
You. Well, it fell out of my ear, too.
Okay.
And by fat, we mean faithful, available, and teachable. And so just that you are faithful in your walk with the Lord, and just faithful to being a member and a part of your group, that you are available, and you're willing to spend the time that it takes to pour into the people in your group and to love them well. Believe it or not, I've met with girls before that had great leadership potential, really had a heart to do it, but they worked 80 hours a week. And so they had no availability to really pour into the women that they wanted to lead. And so just making sure that you're available to not just be there 2 hours once a week, but just being able to take the time and that you're available to pour into them outside of group time and just being able to meet those needs and foster those relationships. And that you're teachable. One thing I always tell women when I meet with them, but this applies to men too, it's all poppy, is that you have a teachable spirit. You know, when people come in, they're like, hey, I'm your leader. I'm the best leader you're ever going to have. You know, I should be teaching Todd. It's like, oh, well, maybe you shouldn't be leading. Maybe you need to go to a regen or something. I don't know. But, It's one of those, like, if you have this humble spirit of when I am weak, he is strong, you know, knowing that you have areas to grow, as we all do, just in a teachable attitude of, hey, I'm walking with the Lord, but I know I can always grow in my relationship with the Lord. I want to learn how to lead people better. I want to learn how to love better. So that kind of humility and that kind of attitude is key. Just as a leader, we want you to have a commitment to care for others in your group. An always growing relationship with Christ, which is what we should all be pursuing. I think somebody said that. A desire to serve. I think somebody down here said that as well. Spending time, not just showing up once a week, but spending time. If that looks like face-to-face, if it looks like sending each of them a text every day, if it looks like calling, whatever that looks like, spending time. A willingness to learn. And one thing that we've found out that's just key for all leaders is just to be an initiator. What I've found out is, you know, a lot of times leaders will wait for the group to initiate things and say, well, you know, my group doesn't seem to want to do stuff. And I always say, well, have you reached out to them one-on-one? Have you reached out to them as a group? How have you initiated time to hang out with them? So faithful, available, and teachable, that is a good thing. Okay. Brian, I'll let you take on to the next one. I'm going to try to fix this.
Absolutely. So you guys are all here because you're fat leaders. And so I mean that in the best possible way. So so what really is the goal of community? So number one there, is it being more disciplined? Not necessarily. not necessarily at all. And so is it being a member at Watermark? So you hear that from all the time of, if you come to the porch, I feel like every other week they're like, hey, you need to be committed somewhere, either village or here or whatever. So are you in a leading a community group, or are you in community just so that you can get JP off your back and say, like, hey, I'm somewhere, I'm committed. No, that's not really the ultimate goal of communities, being a member here at Watermark, or to meet people and to make friends. We'd love for that to happen, but there's other avenues for that to happen as well. And so it's not really any of these things. And also, just a side note, if you're not a member here at Watermark yet, but maybe you're pursuing membership, and so like whenever you talk to us about leading a community group and you're not a member but you're pursuing it, so the next connecting point, if you haven't done that, is in April, and just strongly encourage you to attend that. So the real goal of community is Christ-likeness. So it's not any of those other things that I listed. The goal of community is Christ-likeness. So how am I doing at being and making disciples? How am I doing at leading myself, right? Self-leadership. How am I doing at being known and knowing others and engaging culture? And so what does it look like to become more like Christ personally, in the workplace, relationally, kind of et cetera? I don't know. Sure. So what does it look like to grow in Christ likeness in all these different areas? And having groups around me, right? Guys around me to encourage me in that. So my guys happen to all be friends. We hang out outside of group time, which is awesome. But really, we got into a community group together. They're not all like me at all, but we got into a community group together because we all wanted to become more like Christ. That was our ultimate goal. And it's like, hey, like, I want to be friends in the process. I'm going to grow to love you and to try to lead you well. But ultimately, I need you to ask me hard questions. I need you to help keep me accountable. I need you to help sharpen me and help me see blind spots in my life that I can't see. Help show me my pride. Help show me these areas that keep me from having a deeper walk with Christ. And they do that. They do that. They ask me the hard questions and they engage. And so they don't just let me kind of slide by and like, hey, let's just be friends. Let's go to the porch. Let's just do whatever. It's like, no, they get in my life and they ask me hard questions because they love me and they want to see me grow in Christ, just as like I want to see them grow in Christ. And so they challenge me, right? They challenge me, which is wonderful. So if the goal of your group is Christ-likeness, right? So it's not just being a member at Watermark or anything else. If it's Christ-likeness, then what's your responsibility as a leader? So again, poll the audience. So what do you think is your responsibility as a leader? So if you're a faithful, available, teachable, what do you think it looks like to be a leader? Nobody? Oh, there you go. That's helpful.
There's the question.
So
what's your responsibility?
Setting PowerPoints every week and teaching. Do you guys think that's what it is? Pointing others towards Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be taught yourself.
What was that?
Be taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be
okay.
Teachable. It's good.
Right. Facilitating an environment. That's awesome.
It's great.
Exactly.
Support system. Absolutely. Anything else?
Being consistent.
Prepared
and consistent.
Consistent.
Absolutely.
All of the above. Yes. Very good. We have a handout called Group Leader Responsibilities. If you look in your binder behind the Resources tab.
It's the orange one?
It's the very first sheet. It's called Group Leader Responsibilities. And this is just a long list of different things that each group leader should grow in over time. So these are just different responsibilities that we have, you know, listening, leading discussion, dealing with conflict, following up on members outside of group time, being patient. I know somebody said that earlier. Sharing your leadership by delegating responsibility. Know that you don't always have to shoulder everything. Part of being a leader is developing other leaders and sharing that responsibility. protecting group members, praying for your group members. One of the things that they're actually doing downstairs in base camp right now is having a intentional prayer night for each of their groups. And so just make sure that as a leader, you're really taking each individual person in your group to the Lord in prayer, that you're praying for yourself in leadership as well. Evaluating your progress. This is really bad. Leading discussion. There's all sorts of different things on this sheet. And so this would be a great thing for you to just kind of go through tonight and kind of read through all of these different responsibilities that are part of being a leader. And if there's things on here that you're like, hey, I'm not great at that, that is okay. Again, go back to the teachable spirit. This is a growing opportunity for you as it is for everyone in your group. One of the things on here is planning your group times. And so some of you might be like, well, Robbie, that's a great thing, but I don't know how to do that. Great thing. I'm glad you asked. So this is, Brian knows, this is actually one of my favorite slides. I love to teach on this slide, and I don't know why, because it's not even that pretty. But it's
color-coordinated.
Maybe it's the colors. I'm not sure. So what should your time together look like? What I always tell people is that community is a mixture of three things, and if one part is missing, it's lopsided, and it's not fully what biblical community could and should look like. It's probably hard to read on the screen and on your paper, but let me clarify what those are in case you want to write them down. So there's three different aspects to community. There is accountability, and there is Bible study, and then there is fun and fellowship. And so what I always tell people is don't neglect one to strengthen the others. All three are important. So if you think, we're not going to spend time doing fun and fellowship because we got to get in there and we got to do an hour's worth of accountability and we got to do an hour's worth of Bible study. What I always tell people is that's such a beat down for me to come to community each week. It's like, wah, wah, that's not fun. It's not something that you're going to get excited to come back and fellowship with people. If it's just this hard conversation, let's point out all of our faults and let's pray about it and let's do this Bible study and then we're going to pray and then we're going to go home. It's like, wow, I'm glad to get out of there. And so making sure that there is this fun and fellowship aspect to community is just a way to breathe life into it. Another one, if accountability is missing, then basically you're showing up to do Bible study each week. And what I always tell people is we have Wednesday morning and Thursday night women's Bible studies, and then we have Men's Summit, and we have Equip Disciple. We have all of these other opportunities here to go to a Bible study. So if that is all that community group ends up being, then it's not really authentic community walking and living in each other's lives. There should be a Bible study aspect, but if that is all your group turns out to be, then you're doing a Bible study and you're not doing community. And then the other part, I always say if you're leaving out Bible study and you're just doing heavy accountability each time or just having fun each time, then you're either a dinner club or a support group. And so there is a mixture and a balance in all three being present. And so that's just one thing we challenge our leaders to always go back and check, hey, how are we doing in all three areas? Are we still having fun? And ask your group, you know, say, hey, I would love feedback. Do you think that we're having fun? What else could we do to have more fun? Or, hey, I think we've gotten away from doing a study. Let's maybe all come next week with some ideas of what we would like to study next. Because maybe you wrapped up something and you took a week off, totally fine. But if you're taking 3 months off, maybe it's time to start a study again. And so if accountability is dumbed down to let's just go around and share one prayer request each time, that's not true living in each other's lives, sharing your struggles each week either. So there is a balance, and it's not a science. We can't sit up here and say 33 minutes of your time needs to be on fun. Make sure you set a stopwatch because then you got to move on to accountability. So there's no science to it. What I always tell people is maybe you do accountability and Bible study 3 weeks in a row, and week four, you don't do any of that, and you just go have Mexican food and go see a movie and have fun together. So whatever that looks like, if it's in implanting fun and fellowship each week for 30 minutes, do that. If it's, hey, let's hit Bible study and accountability hard for 3 weeks, and then let's just go have fun week four. Whatever that looks like, figure it out for your group. You don't have to be the only dictator in your group that's like, this is what we're doing. Get feedback. feedback from your group, see what meshes with everybody, and move forward from there.
And just to kind of add to that, like, some of this stuff just kind of evolves as you get to know your girls and your guys more. So it's not like, oh, hey, what's your name? Oh, nice to meet you. What do you struggle with? Like, like that's not exactly what we're talking about. So initially, you're going to have more of that fun and fellowship of like, hey, let's just get to know each other. What do you like to do? Like, let's just try to make connections. Mm-hmm. And then as you start building trust, that's when you can you have the opportunity to kind of ask those pressing questions and just kind of like, hey, I would love to understand what's going on in your life and how I can be praying for you. And it means so much more because they know that you really care and that relationship is there. So some of the stuff you kind of have to ease into. So it's not like, like she said, like I need three equal parts of all three of these right off the bat. Like, let's go. But so it's okay to evolve that along and just kind of base it off your relationships.
Yeah. And each group looks different. So don't take your group and compare it to somebody else's and think that you're failing as a leader. It will evolve over time, and whatever that looks like for your group is okay. Just make sure that you're not neglecting one part at the expense of another. Okay? You're like, well, that's nice, Robbie, but how do I get started? Okay, so, again, I'm glad you asked. We, in the binder, this thing doesn't like me.
You just got to click it hard.
There it is. So, in your binders, we have lots of different materials to help get you started. So, if you look, I think the first tab is like first 5 weeks or something. Is that what it says? Okay. So first 5 weeks, there should be a sheet that says leader overview sheet right there. This is basically, we kind of typed out for you how you can run your first 5 weeks. We typed out social time, like spend 15 minutes doing this, have everybody talk about their childhood, two things on their bucket list. So we gave you just some ideas for icebreaker questions so that you can get to know one another in your groups for the first 5 weeks or so. You do not have to follow this. This is just something, if you're just like, I don't know what to do, this is something that you can easily go by. So it really breaks it down. Truly, week one. So how many of you have actually met with your groups already?
Nice.
Okay, a little over half. And I'm sure the other half is probably meeting with them this week. What we want you to do just for your first time is just go have fun. Like, go grab some Froyo or what do guys
That's
go grab?
That's frozen yogurt, guys.
Oh, sorry. Yes,
it's
thank
frozen
you.
Frozen yogurt.
What do guys go do? Do y'all get Froyo? No?
I mean, I love Froyo.
No? That's okay. You can say no. Go get some fries, maybe? No?
Go get
I don't
some
know.
Topgolf?
Topgolf. There you go. Topgolf. So go have fun. Do something, you know, just engaging with each other. Just so you can remember, hey, what's your name again? Or, hey, I remember I saw you at GroupLink. Becky? And so just being able to get to know each other, reintroduce yourselves again, have fun. And so we just gave you, if you look at week two, it's like, hey, discuss these certain questions. You know, what's your best vacation? And so this is just kind of a guide for you guys. If you think of something better, which wouldn't be hard to do, do it. And so this is just something to kind of give you a guide to go by until you kind of get your bearings and you know what's going on. Also, we have a starter curriculum. So it should also be behind that same tab, and it starts with week two at the top. This is just a basic starter curriculum that we want all groups to kind of go through. It's only 4 weeks long. And so, like I said, the first week is just hang out, do something fun. This is just a short reading and then some questions to go through. And so this is just a basic curriculum that really starts with just the simple foundations of our faith. And so that way, not everyone who goes through GroupLink is a believer. And so you might have people in your groups that are not following the Lord. They just don't have a relationship with Christ. And so what is great about this curriculum is it plain and simply walks through the gospel and allows you to be able to just share truth with your group. Behind your resources tab, we'll also talk about this next week. But if there is someone in your group that does not know the gospel, is not a believer, if that's something, I'm so sorry. If that is something that you're just like, I don't know where to take them in scripture, I'm not sure how to guide them through that, in your resources tab, there is a gospel guide, and it tells you what scriptures to go through and how to talk to them about that as well. And then, what else did it say? Life maps. So, after you finish these first 5 weeks of the curriculum and just the get-to-know-you questions, things like that, we ask each person in the group to do a life map. And so there should actually be a whole little section called life maps. And there is a little document that kind of tells you how to create a life map. Has anyone in here ever done a life map before? Just curious.
Handful.
Couple of you.
Awesome.
Okay. So basically, it's just your elaborated story, extended story. So in GroupLink, you did a 333, which was just an abbreviated picture of your life thus far and how you came to know the Lord. This is just an extension of that. So it goes back to, hey, these are some things in my childhood that kind of shaped who I am today. These are the things that I experienced as a teenager that, you know, took me from the Lord. This was my 20s and my 30s, and this is what that looked like. So this helps you develop your life map. It gives you a little grid that kind of helps you plan that out. And so what we ask is that everybody in the group just take, you know, a little while to prepare their life map, and then each week maybe one or two people sharing their life maps. So life maps would probably take, for each person to give their life map and walk everybody through it, it would take maybe 20 minutes of your group time, and just leave time on the end for question and answer. So if somebody is sharing their story and maybe they talk about how their dad left when they were 15, and they never bring him up again. And so maybe at the end you're just like, hey, I know you mentioned your dad left at 15. Have you talked to him since then? You know, just kind of following up just to fully understand, hey, there's a part of your story that I have a question about. What's great about life maps that I always tell people is as a leader, you get to lead out in this. We always ask the leaders to be the first to give their life map so that you can set the tone for authenticity and just vulnerability. And so what's great is as you're sharing your life map, there might be a part of your story that resonates with somebody really well. So let's just say maybe part of your story is in college you ended up having an abortion, and you're just sharing that with the group as you're talking through your story. There might be a girl in your group that is just sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I had an abortion when I was a teenager, and I have never told a soul. And you're saying that's okay to talk about here? This still is a church function, right? Like, is that okay? And it's a start for them to be freed up and just to be able to find just a place of safety. And so what we ask from you as a leader is just to set that tone when you're sharing your life map of, hey, this is me. These are areas where I've totally walked away from the Lord, that I just pursued my own way, and this is how he brought me back. So be real, be vulnerable, and encourage the people in your group to do the same as they walk through their life map. And then alignment is the last thing that we have on this slide. And that is key. It's huge for every group to start off aligning your expectations. We talked briefly on that in GroupLink. It was, I think, part of one of the sections in your Community 101 book. And we can't emphasize enough how important alignment is. You might be like, oh, yeah, it's just a few questions. Those don't matter. They matter. Listen, if you don't set those expectations with everybody agreeing on them from the beginning, you're setting your group up for failure later, because there will be resentment and frustration. Mm-hmm. If people are showing up late, if people are sitting on their phones during group time, well, did you align an expectation like, hey, we're going to put our phones face down when we arrive, or hey, we're all going to do our homework, or hey, we're all going to come on time? So alignment is huge. We're going to talk more about that next Wednesday when we come. We've got some more resources on that.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, so unmet expectations that have come through alignment, so not asking the right questions and trying to set the table on the front end, is one of the biggest causes of conflict and just things in community groups. We see that all the time. So, yeah, again, like the person who's always coming in late or distracted or whatever, when as the group started, when we could have headed that off initially of like, hey, we want to get here on time. This is what we want to be about. These are the questions we want to ask. You know, we don't want to be distracted, whatever. And so basically you want to try to ask questions to your people and set the table as best as you can on the front end so that there aren't unmet expectations that lead to resentment or bitterness on the back end. And so we're going to go into that a lot more in detail next week, but just kind of a taste of that. So now it's doing
See,
it to me.
It's okay. Not working.
Yeah. Veronica, can you go one more slide over? Maybe. I don't know why I decided to die.
I'm glad it's not me. This is comforting.
Awesome.
Okay, there we go.
So just week two stuff. So this is kind of what we're going to be about next week. So again, we're going to talk a little bit more about aligning expectations. Then we're also going to talk about, hey, how do I add members well? Or if someone's leaving, how do you leave a group well? So it's kind of funny that you guys are just now starting and we're like, hey, what happens if somebody leaves? So
it happens.
The single world is constantly moving. So whether that's moving for a job, somebody getting married, whatever. We try to keep updated rosters for all of our groups, and I feel like every other month we have to come back and it's like, hey, are these people still in your group? We're like, oh, we actually added this guy and this person got married and left.
Or, hey,
like,
we broke up and we're not a group anymore.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Like, what?
It's just like, oh my gosh, like everything keeps moving. And so we try to stay on the front end of it just so that we know the condition of our flocks, as Scripture calls us to, and that we know how to pray for them. So how you add members to a group is really important, to have 100% buy-in to kind of walk through that. So we'll talk about that. And then also, if somebody's leaving a group, like, how do you leave well where there's no, like, not leaving because of conflict or not leaving because, like, oh, I hate going to that because I can't stand this person. They always talk about themselves, so I'm done. Like, not a good reason, just so you know, to leave a group. And so we'll just kind of talk about that. What does it look like to leave your group well? It's kind of funny, but the speaker-listener technique of in the conflict field guide, so really understanding and trying to I forgot what the word is. I thought I was going to use some awesome word. But yeah, so like how to take the kind of sting out of some of these conflict conversations and how to handle it biblically and by also using the speaker-listener technique. So we'll kind of go over that. We did a talk last semester in Basecamp about community killers, which are like, hey, here's five types of people who might be in your community group that have the potential to ruin your group if kind of left unaddressed. So you'll have the person who's like always the over-talker, and it's always about them, and they'll steal kind of conversations and make it about them, or the person who's always kind of coming in late and distracted. And so we'll kind of talk about, hey, here's how you address those people in the group, because you don't want to ever leave it kind of the elephant in the room. So here's what you say during your group time, and then here's what you say to them one-on-one if it keeps being a habit. So it's just really practical steps that again, as a resource to you, just to help support you. So we'll kind of talk through that. And then we'll just kind of list out some other resources that we have available of some online Bible studies that you can have access to, and different books and different curriculum that we would suggest. So who has questions at all? Is everybody like completely overwhelmed sitting here quietly for 45 minutes? Yeah.
Did you go? So her question was, they've already met two or three times. Is that accurate? Two or three times she and her group have. And so they're already to the point of wanting to have the expectations discussion. Is that right? Did you go through Community 101? Or I mean, the group link book. There are five or six alignment questions in there to talk through. So I would say start there for sure, because those are included in what we're going to talk about next week as well. So those are great foundational expectations to talk through. So cool. Good question.
Okay. So next week we'll be in this same room, still at 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So you have one more week of this. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray for us. And then we're actually going to head out, and we're going to go down one flight of stairs and go down to the second floor, and we're going to see the second half of Basecamp, what we call huddle time. And so it's actually going to be coaches, go ahead. There's going to be open tables there, so just go ahead, and you can grab your little sign if you want to, or you can leave it here. We'll grab it. And you're just going to go find an open table, and everybody's going to kind of keep that same huddle.
Yeah, stay in your huddles.
And then we're just going to have an opportunity for just kind of a coach to kind of get to know you guys and girls, and just kind of, hey, here's kind of my story. Here's how God has used community in my life, and talk about fears or maybe expectations or whatever, and just give you guys a chance to actually pray for your group members who maybe you haven't even gotten to meet yet. Mm-hmm. But just to take a time of being intentional where you can kind of build into each other.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, if you have other questions about anything that we talked about tonight, ask your coach. He or she should be able to help you. Once Brian and I are through cleaning up in here, we'll be downstairs as well. So y'all can grab us if you have any specific questions for us after huddle time as well.